Word of God this evening. So we're just going to have a short time of silence, and then I will pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are able to gather here together this evening, to be with each other, but also to be with you in your presence. And I pray this evening that we wouldn't simply hear my voice or the voice of each other, but that we would hear your voice, that you would speak to us through your word, through what I say and through what we share with each other a bit later on. Amen. Being a Christian does not guarantee you a life of leisure, or to phrase it slightly more biblically, it will not always be a walk in green pastures or beside quiet waters. Sometimes the path we tread takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, as we hear about in Psalm 23. And I'm certain that there will be some here among us and others that we know of who are facing this as a present reality, be it maybe physical or mental illness, a change in personal circumstances that isn't for the better, or being misunderstood because of who we are in Christ. The American fast food chain Chick-fil-A recently opened its first restaurant in the UK, in Mark's hometown of Reading, but is currently facing pressure from gay rights activists to close. Now, this isn't because the chain itself is homophobic in any way or refuses to serve people that are gay, but it's because of the beliefs that are held by its Christian CEO, Dan Cathay, who does not believe in same-sex marriage. Our friends in the Diocese of Condoa are facing persecution and ill-treatment on a fairly frequent basis in small and large ways. And I managed to find a news article from a few years ago where a local imam was calling on his followers to actively mistreat Christians there and even more to burn down their houses. And for all the persecutions that we are aware of, actually there's so many more that we're not. Now you can change. Thank you, Amy. The charity Open Doors, who supply persecuted Christians around the world with Bibles and other resources, have on their website those places that need our prayer and support the most. So what can we do when we face situations like this, or we know of others that are facing situations like this? Well, to pray is probably the best thing that we can do, but at times this might not feel like enough to get us through, especially if we are experiencing a sense of distance from God. Well, the first thing to know is that we are not alone. We're not the first to suffer, and we certainly will not be the last either. The reading that we're going to hear this evening is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, a church who were facing pressure to abandon their newfound faith and Messiah and return to the culturally accepted and sanctioned religion of Judaism. But before Uta comes and reads that to us, there is a bit of context that I want us all to understand. The letter is not so much a letter as we might expect from the likes of someone like Peter or Paul or John. There's no known author, and it doesn't start with the traditional greetings that are found in Paul's letters, and it actually has very little self-reference inside it. And also the structure is slightly different from the other epistles as well. Essentially, what it is a written sermon, and so when we encounter it, we need to be hearing it in that way. Ideally, we need to hear the whole thing so that we can grasp the whole flow of the message, but we don't have time to do that this evening. I'm also not going to subject you to that this evening. But what I would encourage you to do is to have a read through the whole of the letter at some point over this coming week, even if you may have read it before. So Uta, if you would kindly come on up, and hopefully this will work for you.
By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more should I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Uta. So this excerpt from the sermon that we've heard is taken from what is known as the Hall of Fame, a list of many heroes of the faith. And it can be easy to look at this list of heavy hitters and get an inferiority complex. But as great as they may have been, they were still just as fallible as us. So, Gideon himself had a bit of an inferiority complex, and he was also a little cowardly. Barak was hesitant and distrusting. Samson was prideful. Jephthah was rash. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And Samuel was careless in his leadership of God's people. And for all those that the author names in this passage, many more besides these ones that we have here, there are even more who are simply alluded to. So there is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Elijah, Hezekiah, and the women of Zarephath and Shunam. And equally, for all those that overcame and achieved, there are numerous others whose lives were marked by struggle, hardship, and oppression, with many whose lives were cut short. And it begs the question, why did these people endure such things? Well, if you were listening carefully, the answer was given in what we heard, and it may seem simple, but it was faith. It was their faith in God, who he is, and in his promises. We didn't hear it, but our author defines faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. These heroes knew that God was faithful. He had been in the past, and was there in their lifetimes as well, and that his promises were true and would be accomplished. The passage we heard even says that some of them got some of those promises. But there is one promise that went unfulfilled for them, and that is the promise of their coming Messiah. But the Messiah did come and came in the person of Jesus, the one and only Son of God the Father. Not only was the promise of the conquering King realized in the person and life of Jesus, but in him all the promises God has ever made have been answered yes, as 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us. The saints of old longed for something better, be it a better country, a better resurrection, but they had to wait to receive it. We don't have to wait. It can be ours right here, right now, because of the victory that Jesus secured upon the cross and his resurrection and ascension that testify to that as well. Now, I think the greatest thing about this passage is the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before Jesus. His reason for enduring the cross wasn't to obtain a better resurrection, like some of his forebears, or to go to a better country. He already had those things, but he willingly chose to give them up. But why would he do it? What was this joy that was set before him? Simply put, his joy was you, was us, was everyone that comes to him and accepts him as their Saviour and Lord. But not only us who are alive today, but also those saints who are dead as well, as his triumph at Calvary was for everyone forever. There is no certainty about what the future may hold for us. It might be an easy stroll or a difficult uphill ascent. But whatever comes our way, we have a cloud of witnesses that we can look to for encouragement and support. It is those people that we read about in the Old Testament that are found here in this passage in Hebrews. But it's also other saints that we read about that we have the lives to look to, as well as those of us that are sitting here in this place this evening. More than them, though, the passage encourages us that we have Christ to look to, and the assurance that when we suffer, he suffers with us, that he is able to strengthen us in the time of testing and trial, if we are to fix our eyes upon him. But there is a condition. In order for this to happen, we need to run the race. Whatever happens in life ahead of us, the one certainty is that we will be moving somewhere. And it's like being on an escalator that is constantly going down. If we're not actively moving up and trying to get to the top of it, if we're standing still, we'll actually be going backwards. So I urge you, I encourage you, just as our author in Hebrews says, push forwards, focus on Christ and the victory that he has won for each of us. And I leave you with this quote from John Calvin. If those on whom the great light of grace had not shone showed such patience in bearing their ills, what effect ought the full light of the gospel to have on us? A tiny spark of light led them to heaven, but now that the Sun of Righteousness shines on us, what excuse shall we offer if we still hold to the earth? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we are your joy. As much as we call you our joy, so much more are we joyful to you. We pray that you would help us to realize that in our own lives and walks with you. And that wherever there may be doubt about this, that we would be able to fix our eyes on you and see the truth of this. Jesus, we thank you that you are with us through every trial and temptation, difficulty and struggle. And we pray that we would be strengthened when we suffer. Amen. So as I said to a few people before the service started, because it's a youth-led service, we have a tendency of getting everyone involved. It doesn't matter whether you're sitting at the front or whether you're sitting at the back. There is going to be an opportunity now for actually everybody to engage, but not with me up the front, actually with each other sitting around in your groups. We have four questions that will be coming up on the slides in a second for you to have a think about. But please don't see these as a list of exhaustive questions. There may be more things that you want to talk about, even maybe some things that I didn't mention to do with the passage that we heard. But if you find that having tea or coffee or cake helps stimulate your discussion, then you are more than welcome to go and grab some more tea or coffee or cake or biscuits. There might still be some biscuits, or even just water. So we're going to have a period of about 10 minutes or so of discussion with each other. If you want to move because you don't like the people you're sitting next to, then move in the mass of people going up to get tea and coffee. We won't keep tabs on you, I promise. But I encourage you, please, to be open, discuss with each other. Even if you want to moan about me, feel free. I don't mind. It's fine. I've got a bed I can go home to and cry in, so it's all okay. So yes, please do spend the next 10 minutes chatting with each other. And then after that, we'll be going into a time of group prayer as well.